coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting compound here at Area 52, high atop Bethel Church. This is the talk show Hell Hates. Good to be with you today. I've got a hilarious story. I say hilarious. It's one of those things where God did it, and you know God did it. First of all, a couple of prayer requests going out. There's been several families notify me that people in their immediate family have been diagnosed or suspected diagnosed with the COVID virus. And our hearts go out to you. Our prayers go out to you. Again, my daughter had it, and it's not a joke. It's not fake. It's not a hoax. It's real, and it's a bad messed up virus. I think Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, has called for, and I absolutely agree with this, that every nation in the world ought to hand China a bill for the damage that they've done to the world. And I'm not kidding. China's irresponsibility as a government, communism number one, is unbiblical. It's antichrist. It's ungodly, and it serves nothing. It has the people serving the government, and not the government serving the people. The government serves its own self-interest. And in the case of this virus, whether it was released deliberately from this lab or it got out accidentally, they knew about it, they didn't do what was right about it, and it's killed millions of people. And it's going to continue to kill them. And it angers me. But there's not anything I can do about it. So anyway, our hearts and our prayers, honest, sincere prayers, goes out to anybody. One of our followers, her mother died from this. And in a state where the governor said, well, we're not going to give them hydrochloroquine for this. That's not been proven to work. And baloney. Get some Schweppes tonic water. If you cannot get hydrochloroquine or what we take before we go to Kenya is Malarone. That's the name of it. But it contains, Schweppes water contains quinine, however you pronounce it. That's what it has in it. And get some Schweppes tonic water and some zinc as a preventative in case you start showing symptoms of this. That's what I would recommend. That's what has, there's a video made by a doctor who said, do this. And I agree with it. I agree with it because the virus is similar to malaria in that the substance quinine, however you pronounce it, it significantly diminishes the symptoms of it. And that's what our president has been saying. That's what there was a Democrat congressperson who broke the rules and said, thank you, Mr. President, for telling us about hydrochloroquine. Now we're alive because of it. She didn't know she wasn't supposed to say that. So anyway, our hearts and our prayers goes out to anybody who has this virus, and we pray that nobody else gets this thing. It's a bad one. Secondly, we've had a family in our church suffer loss, the death of a woman's father. His name is Max. Godly man, old man, just ready to go to heaven, to be with his wife and to be with Jesus. And he passed away yesterday, and they have graciously asked me to do the funeral Friday, and I will. I was floored. I was honored. This man asked me specifically before he died, told his daughter that he would like for me to preach his funeral. And I am honored by that. I almost started crying when I heard it. And because of the COVID virus, the funeral home's only letting like 9 people in at a time. So they asked me if I could help out with streaming. I said, yeah, that's what we do. So I'll be streaming the funeral service Friday. I don't know. I don't have a time for it yet, but it'll be on our Sermon Audio page. SermonAudio.com/Bethel is the website you go to, and I'm going to give that out to the family, and the family then will be able to pass that around to whoever so that they can be at least watch the funeral, even though they can't be in the building. What a time we live in. We can't even go to funerals now. This is a completely different world, and I don't think anybody saw this coming. Maybe they did. I know this for a fact, that there are government think tanks that run scenarios like this all the time. I was told, I know somebody who works inside the federal government in various capacities, and this particular person was part of a project where they sort of ran the numbers through one of these big supercomputers that they have of a potential virus like COVID and the effects that it would have. But to be able to actually see it in real time and to see the effects of it, this is right now a different world that we live in. And so if, you know, everybody's wanting to get out, everybody's wanting to go back to work, everybody's wanting to go back to church, and I understand that. And I'm ready for people to come to church, but not at the expense of potentially somebody's life. And I think there has to be a little bit of common sense mixed in with it. And to those of you who are afraid to get out and afraid to come to church right now, I'm not shaming you and I'm not judging you at all. Not in the least bit. Because of the seriousness of this virus. And so I just want you, if I'm your pastor and you're wanting to come to church, I don't want you to think that I'm laying any blame or guilt on you because you're not showing up. I absolutely agree with the reason why you're not coming, because I know the people that come to our church, they come because they want to be there. They come because, not because I tell them they have to, they come because they want to be there. And so I'm your pastor. I love you. I'll still love you. And you take care of yourself. You stay away from, that was God's way of dealing with it. Separate, quarantine. I preached that Sunday. I got to tell you this story. And then I'm going to talk about the mark of the beast. I'm going to read Mike Adams' article again, pieces of it. And this guy, it's inexcusable the language that he used in this article. Absolutely ridiculous. In fact, it's dangerous. And I'll say it that way. But I got to tell you this story. I got a phone call today. I was already on the phone with somebody answering a question about baptism. And I got a text from my wife, said there's a guy that really, he's got a great story to tell you. And he left his number. So I called him back. And this is just how God works. I told you the story several years ago. A guy got in touch with me saying that he was a Roman Catholic. He'd never heard about me at all. And he was a single man. He went to the laundromat to do his laundry. And he noticed that on the folding table, there was some DVDs from a guy named Mike Hoggard. And so he's folding his clothes and getting ready to leave. And so he looks and he decides to take one. He puts it on top of his basket, gets in the car, goes back to his apartment. He sits down, he pops his DVD in, he watches it. He is absolutely stunned at what he said. I don't know which one it was. He gets back in his car, drives back to the laundromat, and grabs every DVD that's on the table. I guess there was just different topics there. And he said, I watched every one of them. He said, I went out, got myself a King James Bible. I got down on my face before God, asked God to save me. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I'm just going, hoorah! I just love stories like that. Well, this guy called. He said that he listens to a Christian radio station where he lives. He lives in Missouri. And he heard somebody talk about a book called Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, not Paul Bunyan, John Bunyan. And it's an old book, but it basically details the life of someone who is trying to follow Christ. I've never read it, but I've heard it's a great story. I'll tell you this, I got interested one time in reading Robinson Crusoe. I used to have an album when I was a child, a story album where they made it into like a little audio play and they mixed it with Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, and I loved the music of it. But anyway, I was always interested in reading that book. I'd never read the book before. So I was at a bookstore one time, they had a copy of it, so I bought it paperback. And I was absolutely stunned. I had no idea what the story Robinson Crusoe was really all about. It's about a guy gets deserted on an island. But it's about more than that. It's about how God saved this man by deserting him on an island. Because at some point, he's on the island, and if you know the story of Robinson, it's actually based upon a real a man by the name of Jonathan Selkirk, I believe is his name. But it's based on a true story. But anyway, Robinson Crusoe, at some point, he's retrieved some items from off the shipwreck that he was on. And he's got the captain's chest with all the captain's stuff in it. And at one point, Robinson Crusoe gets sick. He's got some kind of fever or something like that. And he knows that in the captain's chest, there's a bottle of brandy, which they used back then for just about everything, and tobacco. And he was going to mix the brandy with some of the tobacco and use it as a purgative to try to purge this out of him. As he reaches in the captain's chest looking for the brandy, his hand lays on a Bible. And he pulls the Bible out and starts reading it. And he gives his life to the Lord and is saved. And I'm going, I never heard that part of that story. If you ever get a chance to read Robinson Crusoe, you find out that it's about a lost man who finds Jesus. I'm not kidding you. I had never heard that before. But anyway, the guy hears about the book Pilgrim's Progress. So this particular guy that called today, his name's Eddie, he said, me and computers don't get along. So he doesn't have one. So he had somebody order the book for him, I guess from Amazon or something like that. And whoever ordered it decided they was going to read it before they gave it to him. So he said, I'm waiting for this book. Find out the guy that ordered it for me still got it. He's reading it. And he said, I wanted to read it. Lo and behold, I don't know where it was or why he did it. But he had something he was going to throw away, and he found a random dumpster somewhere, apartment building or something like that, flipped the lid on the dumpster, and there on the top of the trash pile was a book. Guess which one it was? Pilgrim's Progress. Not kidding you. And he can't believe it. He's going, that's got to be God. So he reaches in and he realizes that it's sitting on top of a stack of several other books. So he pulls all these books out. The first one is Pilgrim's Progress. The second book in this pile of books in this dumpster was a book called By Divine Order. Another book called The King James Code. Another book about Jesus Christ's DNA in the Holy Bible. It's books that we had printed up. Somebody threw them away, which kind of irritated me. But this guy found them. And he's reading all of these books that I put out. And he's like, he's amazed. He said, I'm seeing a guy that studies the Bible. And I told him, I said, I'm still doing it. He said, I believe you. So anyway, just out of a random event, he not only finds the book he's looking for, but he finds books that we put out. And he's like beside himself reading these books. So I told him, I said, tell you what, we'll send you. He asked about Freemasonry. He said he used to be in the DeMolay. And he said, I was lost and I knew something was wrong with DeMolay, which is the youth organization of Freemasonry. And I said, guess what? I said, I know their secret. And I said, guess where it is? It's in the King James Bible. He said, I believe it. I said, I'm going to send you some DVDs on that. So we put him on our mailing list, and we're going to send him some DVDs out there. That's just how God works, people. I'm telling you. He's a good God. I won't say we've never advertised, because I've tried it before. Never gotten any response from advertisement at all. But you just let word of mouth get out. You let people say your name or your church or send a video, a YouTube link or something like that to somebody. And all of a sudden somebody watches what we do and they see that it's got Bible verses in it. Something like, it's like an alien from outer space all of a sudden shows up and starts speaking Bible verses. I mean, how come preachers don't do that anymore? Well, there are still some that do, and praise the Lord for that. So that was my blessing for the day. Now, let me put this on the screen. Again, I've known of this guy, Mike Adams, for some time. And he runs a website. He calls himself the Health Ranger, and it's natural news or something like that. It's the truth, the God's honest truth. Now, for years, what I've known about him is that he was steeped in New Age ideology. Natural News is his website. And I had heard this from some people before when I was preaching at a church one time in New York State, and I mentioned that I was going to have shoulder repair surgery because of being electrocuted where the current went out on my shoulder. It just destroyed my shoulder. So I had to have it repaired. And some people came up to me, and they were, I mean, I'm not knocking them. They were being nice to me, but they said, oh, don't let them butcher you, Pastor Mike. Don't let them carve you up. They used terms like that. And they said, you need to take this and swallow this and eat this three times a day, and it will release your body's natural healing energies. And I thought to ask them there, I said, can you show me in the Bible where I have natural healing energies locked up? And that if I eat this three times a day, it'll unlock it. There is no such thing. God has designed our bodies, yes, to heal within certain limitations. But my friends, death is going to come to us all. Death and disease are part of life. And there is nothing in the scripture that mandates that we must be healthy in order to serve God. Nothing whatsoever. Whatever Paul's thorn was, he didn't specify it, but we know that Paul dealt with a problem with his eyes. He said that in Galatians, that they would have plucked out their own eyes and give it to him. And he said, you see with what large letter I write unto you with my own hand. So we know that Paul was going blind. Whatever the thorn was in his flesh, he asked God three times to remove it. And God said, I'll give you grace instead. God choosing not to heal him of his infirmities. There is not a biblical mandate nor a biblical guarantee that if you serve Christ, you will be healthy, or that if you're going to serve Christ, you must be healthy. There is nothing like that in Scripture. That is a lie. But that's the lie that some people tell, and that's what Mike Adams has told for years. Somebody sent me this article and they were asking me, do you think he's turned Christian? After reading this article, I would say absolutely not. Here's some of the things that he said. He said it's a safe bet that half the people reading this won't be alive by 2025, and that's all by design. And he goes into this thing about the coronavirus. And he starts talking about the vaccine. Now, again, I am not telling you that you must get vaccinated. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't get vaccinated. I'm not saying either or. If I were to say that vaccines are evil, I would be a hypocrite. I was vaccinated as a child, didn't know about it. I get a flu shot usually every year. Before I went to Kenya, I got about a half a dozen vaccines before I left. The first time, that was in 2011. I'm not dead. I've not turned New World Order. I don't have the mark of the beast in me. I don't have a digital tracking device planted in my body. Nothing like that. But I understand those who are afraid of certain vaccinations. I get it. So I'm not speaking for it. I'm not speaking against it. When it comes to this COVID virus, I personally believe that the hydroxychloroquine is a much better alternative than a vaccine. It's my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I can't give you medical advice. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't listen to somebody who is not a physician. There's a lot of, what do they call it? It's not old wives' tales remedies, but anecdotal remedies. I was told that if I take cinnamon three or four times a day, that I wouldn't have to worry about my blood sugar. Well, that didn't work. I ended up taking metformin for several years. And I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily for, I'm not necessarily against. I'm not necessarily for all pharmaceuticals, but I'm not necessarily against them either. I take certain medicines. I have to. Okay, so, you know, you just take it for what it's worth. But this kind of talk here, especially when he gets into the religious aspect of it, So he says, after years of trying to politely convince people to commit to, after years of trying to politely convince people to commit vaccine suicide, they finally found a vehicle to overcome any real resistance, COVID-19. Thanks to COVID-19, by the billions, the sheeple slash cattle of the world will obediently line up to be nasal swabbed, DNA mapped, medically prodded, and calmly injected with deadly substances. Anything is acceptable as long as it's described as a vaccine, since nobody bothers to read the ingredients anyway. Those over the age of 60 will be encouraged to sign a DNR, do not resuscitate order, before the injection, so that as they start to expire, no medical resources will be needed to contend with their care. The dying elderly will simply be placed in euthanasia rooms until they expire from starvation or dehydration, whichever happens first. Now, that's his mindset. The vaccine will be part of a binary weapon to be activated with the release of the next bioweapon sequence. And now he's coming up with the idea that, the vaccine itself won't kill you. But it's a binary weapon. They give you the vaccine now, and then next year, when they release a new virus, that when that combines with this vaccine, people will just die everywhere. That's the fear that he's trying to put into people. Now, all that, if he wants to say that, fine. If he doesn't want to take pharmaceutical medications, that's up to him. I don't care either way. But when he starts applying it now to salvation, that's where I step in and I say, hold on just a second. Because we're not saved by what goes floating through our bloodstream. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When it comes to salvation, and I hear a false gospel, I step in. What you do with your body, what you take, what you don't take, really is none of my business. What you eat, what you don't eat, what I eat or don't eat, it's not anybody's business except mine and, of course, my wife. I couldn't care less. But when somebody starts telling you that a needle in your arm damned your soul to an eternal hell, that's where I'm going to step in. So he says, when Bill Gates announces the availability of free coronavirus vaccines for the masses, the sheeple will line up by the billions begging to be injected and planted with the Mark of the Beast technology so they can have the privilege of using the global cryptocurrency transaction system that replaces the collapsed dollars. But you are now fighting for not just your life, but your soul. And he quotes part of Revelation 13, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Well, I'm glad that at least he used King James. But he left out, let's say, the whole rest of the Bible. And I'm going to explain that. According to Scripture, by participating in that Mark of the Beast system, you will be selling your soul to Satan, prohibiting it. Hold on a second. Mr. Adams, when we're born, our soul automatically belongs to Him. We are part of this world system by birth. We were shapen in iniquity, David said, fashioned in sin. We are born sinners, and thus already condemned. For there is none righteous, no, not one. It's not receiving a vaccine or not receiving a vaccine. It's not eating bacon or eating bacon that sells your soul to Satan. It's being born that does that. We are automatically doomed. to an eternal hell simply because of Adam and Eve and what they did. And I'm going to address that as part of explaining the mark of the beast. And I want you to think Bible on this. Does anybody get coerced, or what am I trying to say? We have this idea that they're going to round everybody up with a shotgun, line them up, hold them at gunpoint, and say, "You either take this or we'll blow your brains out." And that's not how it's going to happen, people. I'll show it to you from Scripture. So, he says, Bill Gates is now openly talking about rolling this out, having biometrics or implanted devices that broadcast your coronavirus vaccine status to allow you to participate in society. Without such electronic marks in your hand or forehead, you will be prohibited from engaging in any societal functions, including transactions of commerce. Now, I don't know about you, but of all the vaccines I've had, I've never had one injected in my right hand or in my forehead. I'm just saying. The book of Revelation is finally here. End of days. The demonic entities have long taken over the bodies of former humans we once called Bill Gates or George Soros. Using the power of propaganda and finance, they are now in the final chapter of building a global death machine that will finally achieve the most desirous aims of the anti-humanist Satan worshippers: the annihilation of humanity, Christianity, liberty, and self-determination. Their goal is to claim Earth for Satan while he's already the god of this world. He already has it. He offered it to Christ. When Christ came, was tempted, Satan showed him all the kings of the world, said, "I'll give you all these." He has them already. Again, this guy he knows maybe two verses of the Bible. He doesn't know what the Bible says. Maybe it's a matter of time. I don't know. But I'm calling him out on what he's saying here. It's not right, people. The masses will be consumed, body, mind, and soul, by the demonic forces that are projected through a big pharma needle, contaminating your blood with non-human RNA that alters your own genetic code, making you a vessel of beckoning death, which will welcome the sweet, smothering death of the next mutation that's released as the final solution against humanity. The masses already worship death and blood, as evidenced in the mass celebration of post-birth abortions, politically protected worldwide blood trade and harvests. I'm not going to read all that. It talks about Jack Dorsey and whatever. He says, if you take the coronavirus vaccine and seek the antibody papers that allow you to participate in this evil, corrupt society, you will be selling your soul to Satan for eternity, and there is no coming back from that. Soon you will be forced to decide between heaven and hell, good versus evil. Now, you can read the article if you want. But that kind of garbage, it really fires me up. I hate every false way. I hate it. I hate false gospels. I don't care what form they come in. Whether it's the Catholic Church telling you, you must have these rites and rituals performed on you, you must eat this food that's been offered in sacrifice to idols, which is strictly forbidden in Scripture. You must drink this blood, which again, strictly forbidden in Scripture. You must stand in this spot in the Holy Mother Church. You must receive salvation from the priest. You must confess your sins to him. You shall not leave anything out. He must absolve you of your sins. You must do penance for your sins. That kind of stuff really burns me because it's bondage. Or whether it's another religion, or whether it's Hebrew roots, telling people, you must go to church on Saturday. You must pray to Yahweh only. You must say Yahushua. You must, if you do anything else other than this, you are doomed to hell. I hate false gospels. Or it's somebody telling you, there was a guy, he got kicked off of Sermon Audio, and I don't blame him. Years ago, I don't even know if he's still around. But he even made, now don't get me wrong, I hate cigarettes. I hate them. They stink. They're full of cancer. But I can't point to you a verse in the scripture and say, smoking cigarettes will condemn you to hell. I can't do that. I don't have... Sin is a transgression of the law, the Bible says. And God wrote his laws down and gave them to us so that we would know what is sin, what is not sin. Now, smoking makes you stink. It stinks up your house, stinks up your clothes and your hair. It has carcinogens in it. But I can't tell you that if you smoke a cigarette, you're going to burn in hell forever. This guy, remember, Scott Johnson was his name. And he equated cigarette smoking to offering incense to Baal. And he said, if you smoke cigarettes, you're offering incense to Baal, and you're going to burn in hell forever. He made that up. He made that up and condemns everybody who's ever smoked to a devil's hell, when the truth of it is, God never said that. Never said it. When people make up sins, we don't need them. We have enough against us already from God's word to condemn us. We're already condemned, which is why we need a Savior. So whether it's somebody telling you, if you eat bacon, you're going to go to hell. If you smoke cigarettes, you're going to go to hell. Or if you get a needle in your arm, you're going to go to hell. Or if you take pharmaceuticals, you're going to go to hell. You've lost your salvation. And that's what Mike Adams says. If you get vaccinated, according to him, you are selling your soul to Satan because you're taking the mark of the beast. And that's a lie. It's a lie. So let's look then at what the Bible says. John, our deacon, he comes in the morning. We have a little chance to visit. And this morning was another. I wasn't feeling very good. But, you know, we were kind of talking about the mark of the beast. And, you know, he brought up the fear issue. And I understand that. I mean, when I was young, there was a movie. We used to watch these 16 millimeter films that were put out years ago from different evangelistic networks. We even had a film projector here at the church. And there was one called A Thief in the Night. It was about the rapture. And then they did a couple follow-up movies with it. But it basically kind of gave the idea that people were going to be rounded up at gunpoint. The UN soldiers were going to go out corralling everybody, having them line up at gunpoint to receive it. Back then, they put a barcode. That was what they thought was going to be the mark of the beast, was these barcodes. And they tattooed a barcode on people's hands or on their forehead, and everybody wore these barcodes. And so that's how I used to perceive the mark and people getting it was they're going to be forced to do it at gunpoint. They're going to be shot and killed if they don't get it. Let's look at what the Bible says, and then let's look at how then God is teaching us about how this mark is received. Revelation 13, starting in verse 11, this is the ministry of the false prophet. And think opposites here. You have Christ offering salvation. You have Antichrist offering condemnation. And once Antichrist appears, and this mark rolls out. Now that I agree with. Once the mark is taken, there is no turning back. Zero. I don't care what Tim LaHaye says. I don't care what anybody else says. Well, God only looks on the inside. The mark's on the outside. God looks on the inside. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture makes it plain. Anybody that has that mark is condemned, period. And there is no turning back. And I would say that there will be no desire to turn back. Because once that mark is given and received by people, I believe the Scripture fulfilled where it says their consciousness is seared with a hot iron. They don't want anything else. They want that mark. They will ask for it. They will beg for it. It's a choice they're going to be given. So, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. So think, he's the opposite of Christ now. The false prophet. The anti-Jesus, in other words. The opposite of the Word of God. Okay? Instead of a religion that's based upon static doctrines that do not change. They're not altered. We don't just make it up as we go. That's other religions. But Bible Christianity remains constant. God doesn't change, and he doesn't alter the thing that goes out of his mouth, he says. Once he says it, that's it. Okay? So, but he has two horns like a lamb. So his appearance is that he is appearing to be Christ-like, is what I'm getting from that. Then he spake as a dragon. So we know then that the things that he says is not going to come from God. It's going to come from the dragon. It's going to come from Satan. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth. And see, here's just a little something to throw in. When Christ came, the prophet came before him, which was John the Baptist. It was prophesied that Elijah would come and prepare ye the way of the Lord. So John the Baptist comes before Christ and prepares the way. But this is opposite of that. This false prophet then comes after the beast for whatever reason. And however that's going to play out time-wise, I don't know. But he comes after the beast, not before him. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Understand this. The false prophet, the very nature of that phrase tells you this is a religious experience. This is a religious ideology, a religious principle. A religion. Okay? That's what it is. Because worship is truly a religious concept. It's not political. It's not scientific. It's religious. This has to do with what people believe and the things that they conceive in their mind. What's in their heart, in other words. Something I heard the other day, and I haven't had a I just now remembered. I haven't had a chance to look into it. But you know how the mind works, the brain? It has neurons, which are like little nerve pulses that send and receive information via electronically. All right? And that's how the brain operates. Apparently, there's neurons located on your heart. Think about that. Because our belief in Christ is not necessarily in our mind. Where is it? It's our heart. Romans 10, what does it say? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Anyway, so understand the nature of the false prophet is to lead and to cause people to worship. Notice the phrase, cause them. Okay? If you force someone to worship, are they really worshiping? No. I mean, I can tell people if they come in our church, excuse me, gentlemen, take off your hats. You know, I've done weddings before where I had to, and during the rehearsal, I've had to at times tell some of the groomsmen to quit using the language they're using. They're in a church. Believe it or not, you probably believe it. Okay? Now, did that stop them from cursing for the rest of their life? No. Did it cause them to believe in God? No. When I was in high school and I was in band and choir, and our choir director, he was a Christian. I'd known him most of my life. Good man. He would always include religious songs, Christian songs that the choir would sing. We would sing a Christmas program. We would do stuff for Easter. The band, likewise, we would play religious songs. I remember those songs never made anybody that I went to school with ever get saved. Just because we sang those songs in choir does not mean that they all fell down and worshiped Jesus Christ, because they obviously didn't. So just making someone bow doesn't mean that they worship something. You know, I get out on my knees when I have to change the tire on my car. I'm not worshiping my car. But he's going to cause everybody to worship the first beast, not by force, because that's not worship. It's by choice. Dr. Stephen Greer worships these aliens. He bows before them. He prays to them. That's what the CE5 is all about. Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It's what he's doing. He's praying to these gods, and these gods are responding. He worships them, and he does it willingly. Nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head on this thing. Understand that. When the devil approached Eve, he never used fear one time. Not once. So anyway, whose deadly wound was healed? Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders. So he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, that's a religious term, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. That they shall. That phrase itself implies voluntary action, not must, not have to, not by force, by choice, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Then, verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, we have an example of that. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 3 cubits, 3 score cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, so 60 and 6. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the councils, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, that they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So we know... we know then that there's going to be two groups of people in that day. Those who stand and those who fall. And their falling is by their choice. It's what they wanted. It's what they asked for. It's what they deserved. And they got it. It's no force. No gunpoint. There was a punishment if they didn't do it. But did that make everybody fall? No. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. They chose to stand when everybody else fell. So verse 16. He causeth all. Causes them. There is a cause here. His false prophecy and his lies created in them the desire to receive this mark. Causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. 6 groups here. There's a reason for that. Has to do with the meaning of the number. You go to Genesis 6, you see the sons of God and the daughters of men. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell. Where do they receive the mark? They receive it in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's where it's received. No man might buy. And the Bible's giving you these details so that you're not alarmed by false alarms. You know, if you go to an amusement park and you have to leave and go back out to your car and they want to stamp your hand, I always give them my left hand. Why? Well, I just don't like the idea of somebody putting a mark on my right hand. Okay? Now, if they insist I have it on my right hand, does that mean I'm going to lose my salvation because they printed a mark, a temporary mark, on my right? No. Of course not. There's only one mark of the beast. And I'm not saying that I know what it is. Because I don't. I don't think anybody right now can really absolutely say, this is it right here. Okay? I don't think anybody can. In fact, I have some examples here. Is it a vaccine? Is it an ID chip? Is it 5G? Is it genetically modified foods? Because, you know, Mike Adams has been scaring the devil out of people. Well, I don't know if that's totally true. But he's been scaring people for years, telling them that if they eat genetically modified foods, that that in turn will modify their genetics. And it doesn't work that way. Did you know that just going out into the sun every day, solar radiation has an effect of corrupting DNA transcription in your cells? That happens literally every day when you go outside into the sun. Your body has a way of correcting itself when cells don't transcribe the DNA properly from one cell to the next because of solar radiation or whatever there is out there. Your body has a way of correcting the damage to a limited extent. But some people still die of skin cancer, other types of cancer, because the way the body corrects the damage that's been done to the DNA didn't quite work as well, or the damage was done so bad that the body couldn't correct it. People still die. Everybody dies. Everybody does. So, and you know me, I've been telling you for years, watch out for human genetic modification. I am, by nature, I am against genetically modified foods. I think it's playing God. But I don't see any real evidence that eating a piece of bread that contains a genetically modified wheat in it, that gives me the mark of the beast. I don't think it's accidental. I don't. Okay? I mean, we've got laws now that people sued to try to make a law that said that companies had to put on there when they were using genetically modified organisms in their food. And that was thrown out. Everybody's got to eat. And I honestly don't believe that you're going to accidentally get the mark of the beast. I don't think God would do that to somebody. I don't think he would allow it. Remember, we have a God, and he's a very good God. He even made a promise to us. Not that I want to go out and drink poison. But he made a promise to his disciples that if they drank poison, it wouldn't harm them. That if he get bit by a serpent, it wouldn't kill them. Paul got bit by a serpent. He just took the beast and shook it off into the fire. And they were waiting for him to die, and he didn't. God protected him. God saved his life. So I don't believe that just because you accidentally ate a cracker or a carrot or you went to McDonald's and ate a hamburger from McDonald's and it had genetically modified wheat in the bun or something, on the sesame seed or whatever, that's giving you the mark of the beast. I don't think God's like that, people. I really don't. And I think he watches over his sheep to protect them from that. I don't think you're going to accidentally get the mark of the beast, is what I'm saying. Now, how that mark is going to be received? I'm not positive. But we have some clues. Let me get back to Revelation and then I'll show you. So they receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So there is commerce linked in with this. And I can understand people worried about Bill Gates. And Gates is saying we need to develop a vaccine, and then once administered, we can then give people some sort of digital ID that would say to the world they've been vaccinated and they're safe. I'm not a fan of that one. I don't like that idea. I think it's a bad idea. And so did, by the way, so does our president. He's made that very clear. Take hydrochloroquine. Don't go chasing after Bill Gates and George Soros' vaccine. And I commend him for that. So I'm not a fan of Bill Gates' idea. But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid that I'm going to accidentally, without my knowledge, receive the mark of the beast. It's not that way, people. It's not going to be done through fear. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. I guarantee you, when that day arrives and we see it, we'll go, that's it. And it won't be an internet website full of advertisements and somebody making money off of it. It won't be that way, people. God will let his people know what to do. It's like people ask me all the time, should we, you know, if they come get our guns, should we use them? I don't know that I know the answer to that. I know that I don't want anybody taking my guns. I don't want anybody taking my Bible. But to say what God will have us do on any given day, that's up to God to tell us that. Not me. Not somebody else on the internet either. Now, let's go to Genesis 3. Because we have an example. This beast is the man of sin. He is the exact opposite of Christ. Christ is the son of righteousness. He is the man of sin. The opposite of him. The opposite of everything that Christ is, that Christ represents. But he also represents choice. Something that beasts don't understand, something that angels don't understand. God gave humanity, human beings, something that he did not give to bees, birds, whales, dolphins, dogs, kitty cats, germs, and even angels. He gave us the ability to choose what we want. With animals, with beasts and angels, he just told them what they are. And that's what they are. There's no redemption, there's no salvation for them, and there's no changing them. They just are what God made them to be. Think of the false prophet, what Peter said about him. These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They're going to do what God ordained them to do. Because they have a beast nature about them. But with us, gave us a choice. Let me back up. I've got Genesis 3 pulled up here, but let's go back before that. Let's go to Genesis 2. You have to ask the question, why did God even put that tree there? Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Both of them in the midst of the garden. Both of them. Side by side. Like Jesus and Barabbas. That people of Israel had a clear choice. No, Pontius Pilate was not forcing anybody to do anything. He didn't want to crucify Jesus because he's going, he didn't do anything wrong. So he goes, you know what? I'm going to get up. Find me the worst guy you've got down in the jail. Bring him up here. I'm going to set him up here, and I'm just going to see how pathetic these Jews really are. So they go find a murderer, a man who had been arrested for sedition. That means he was a traitor. He was trying to stir up hatred against the government, and he was a murderer. And they pulled him up out of the pit. He's a type of the Antichrist. And here's Barabbas. And here's Jesus, and he speaks to the Jews, and he says, pick one. They only got a choice between one or the other, good versus evil, right versus wrong, light versus darkness. It's that simple. It's not like going to McDonald's or Taco Bell and going, I want a, what do I want? Oh, there's so many things to choose from. I don't know what I want. Oh, it's just one or the other. Pick one. So it's Jesus or Barabbas. God gave them a choice, and they chose. And people, it's not going to be any more complicated than that. Right and wrong. Light and darkness. Good and evil, and we all know the difference between them, don't we? That's why God makes opposites. So we know. That's why God tells women, don't dress like men. Men, don't dress like women. Why? Because they're opposites. God says they need to be seen as different. They're not the same. So, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, did God command Adam that he had to eat the tree of life? No. He didn't command him to eat anything else either. It was there. Eat it all you want to. Eat it freely. Liberty. Eat all you want. Eat it, eat it, eat it till there's, and I'll grow more. Just one tree, just one fruit that he said, don't. He said of, and by the way, look at here, 39 words exactly. If I hit Control D on this software, you see it. I've underlined the words that God said. There's 39 words exactly, and that's the law. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. Isn't that something? I love that. I'm just going, God, this Bible is beautiful. It's in order. But it represents the whole of the law. If a man offend the law at one point, he is guilty of all. So he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Thou may. You don't have to. But you can if you want. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, out of the two, God and Satan, which one basically uses fear to direct and guide our choices? God. Because I'll give you the scripture. one of the seven spirits of God has the word fear in it. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. So when it comes to the choices that we make, God is the one who tells us, be afraid to do this. What compelled me to choose Jesus Christ as my Savior as a young boy was not love. It was fear. I did not want to go to hell. I still don't want to go to hell. Not in the least bit do I want to go to hell. So it's the commandments of God given to me, and my understanding that God enforces his commandments, and the punishment for breaking his commandments is death for eternity. I don't want to burn in hell forever. So God's commandment to Adam to not eat of that tree, basically he used fear to emphasize keeping that commandment. You understand what I'm saying? When we go and look at Genesis 3 and look at how the devil operated, he tried to remove that fear from Eve. That fear of dying, that fear of death. He tried to take that away from her so that she doesn't fear. This is why Whitley Strieber and Stephen Greer and a lot of these New Age people are telling you death is not real. There's no such thing as death. We don't actually die. We all go to the cosmos. We all go to the stars. We're all children of God. So they take away that idea that you're going to burn in hell forever. And they call themselves the good guys for removing that fear. What was it then that motivated Eve? It wasn't fear. The devil didn't hold a sword to her throat, a knife to her throat, didn't hold a gun to her, didn't drag her by the locks of her hair, force it down her throat. And see, that's what guys like Mike Adams are doing. They're trying to convince you that the evil forces are going to use fear to get you to take this vaccine. This mark of the beast, he calls it. And I'm telling you from the word of God, the devil didn't use fear on Eve. He used what was already in her. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Look at it. The serpent was more subtle. More subtle than any beast of the field. This is why I'm saying, I don't know what the mark is right now, and I guarantee you that guy doesn't know what it is either. And anybody says who says they know what it is, they ain't got it figured out yet. Devil's more subtle than that. More subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And look at what the serpent said. Ye shall not surely die. What was keeping Adam from eating that fruit? Fear of death. Fear of death. What's the purpose of your parents chastening you? To put fear in you. Fear of pain. See this whipping? If you ever do this again, I'll whip you twice as hard the next time. And if my mama said that to me, I believed it. She was the whipper in our house. My dad never laid a hand on me. But I respected him, but he never laid a hand on me. It was my mama. And when it came time for my mama to give me a whipping, you better tell God thank you that she gave me whippings. And she gave them to me often. And I was one of these, if I got a whipping at school, I got one at home. So, out of the two, who's using fear? It's God. And it's a good fear. God is telling us the consequences of our actions. It's the devil who's trying to convince us that there are no consequences for our actions. You see what I'm getting at? He says, "Ye shall not surely die." Now she's thinking, now the barrier. What was keeping her from eating that fruit to begin with has now been removed. Now she believes that she won't die. And that was a lie, wasn't it? And the devil knew it was a lie. He knew it was a lie. He knew what was going to happen. I mentioned that last week. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. Now we're gonna offer up an alternative gospel. Another gospel is introduced right here. For God doth know, in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he's promising her a religious experience. Religious because we already know she could see. Because it says, when the woman saw that the tree, she had two eyes that could already see. But he's talking about another eye. Her spiritual eye. That's religion. That's a religious concept. And I assure you, the devil and this mark of the beast thing is going to be all about an awakening. Not fear of catching a disease. It's going to be an awakening. It's going to be a religious experience. What are churches selling people right now? What are they trying to... Well, right now they can't even go. But what are they trying to... Why is it that some of these churches are having a huge problem with the fact that they can't get people in the building? Because they know in the building they can deliver to them an experience. They can use the lights. They can use the music. They can use the atmosphere. They can use the energy from the crowd to give them a religious ecstasy. And see, you know, I like people being in church. But those of you who have been following us for the last several years, watching us online, you've been moved by God in ways that I had no control over. There were times I preached what I thought was the worst sermon in the world, and I'd get a text from somebody saying, "Pastor, I needed that. Thank you." I didn't do that. I guarantee you I didn't do that. How did you get that? You got it from the Word of God, which you have with you always. So this mark of the beast is absolutely as much a religion as it is anything. It's religion. It's a religious experience that the false prophet is going to sell these people on. He's going to remove the fear that this is wrong and then convince them that they will have an awakening that they've never had before. Why do people go to South America to take ayahuasca? Because apparently it's a very bitter drink. And if you can choke it down, your gag reflexes kick in. A lot of people vomit when they drink it. Why would somebody go down and do that? Why? What's their motivation for it? The experience. They see things taking the ayahuasca or the DMT that's in it or whatever. People, why do people get high? Why do people take heroin? Why do people take drugs? Why do they do that? Why do they get drunk? They want the experience. They want that feeling. And there are churches all over the world that are selling these experiences. And they get you hooked on it. And they have to deliver every Sunday or they can't keep the people in. It's about how they feel and about an awakening experience, about having their eyes open or whatever. But it's a religious, ecstatic experience, similar to being drunk or high. And it exists in every Muslims. There are ecstatic Muslims, Buddhism, you name it. Even in Roman Catholicism, there are Roman Catholic mystics who have mystical experiences. My goodness, the Jesuit order was founded upon these religious exercises that gave these priests ecstatic experiences, got them high, spiritually high. And that's the lure. That was the trap that caught them. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit. Show me the fear that she had. Show me the force that the serpent used on her. Show me the evil government forces that forced her at gunpoint to eat this fruit. None of it was there. What was there was everything she'd ever lusted after. Mick Jagger said it best when he wrote the song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. That guy's been probably with more women than we could count, been drunk more times than we could probably understand, been high, and he never got out of it what he wanted out of it. He always wanted more. And isn't that true when it comes to the things that we lust after? Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, food, whatever it is, power, whatever ways we gratify the desires of our flesh and of our eyes, we can never get enough of it, can we? Can we? Never brings satisfaction, but we crave it. That's why God allowed Solomon to have everything this world has to offer a man. Solomon had it, so he could sit at the end of his life and write us the book of Ecclesiastes so we would know it ain't there. Because he had it, and it ain't there. That's what I'm trying to convince you of, people. This mark of the beast is not going to be delivered by force or coercion or fear. It will be what everybody wanted. Notice that it's a fruit. Now, I took that and I've read verses before. I remember reading this years ago and I'm just going, that's it. Notice Proverbs 1, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You see that? Do you see what those words? Did not choose the fear of the Lord. Like Eve. She was told that eating that fruit would kill her. And she was afraid to eat it until the devil convinced her otherwise. And she made a choice. And she chose not the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Now, I know that saying these things that I'm saying today is going to bring me a lot of ridicule, mockery. People are going to leave rude comments. and they're going to say all kinds of vile things about me. They're going to say I'm a New World Order shill, that I'm being paid by the government, that I'm a CIA operative, that I'm a closet Freemason. They're going to say all kinds of, because I know that there are some people that they don't want to hear this. They want me to say that taking this COVID-19 vaccine that Bill Gates comes up with is going to be the mark of the beast. That's what they want me to say. So I understand that I'm not going to change your mind, but I am going to say this. You don't have to take any vaccine. There's nothing in the Bible that commands you to do it. So, don't take any vaccine. How's that? Don't do it. If you don't want to, don't do it. Take your chances with the virus. Get the virus. It's your choice. But I've said this for years. You can believe in all kinds of conspiracy theories. I believe in some of them. You can spend hours every day researching Facebook and YouTube. You can believe everything that Mike Adams said and not get vaccinated. And I guarantee you, some of you are going to go get the mark of the beast. God's going to turn you over to it. Not taking a vaccine does not guarantee you that you're going to go to heaven. There is not one, listen to me, there's not one scripture anywhere that says a vaccine is right or that it's wrong. Not one. It's a lifestyle choice, and I respect that. Not everything that I eat is healthy for me. Not everything that I do is the right thing. So if you want to live a certain way and not eat certain things and not take certain medicine, that's up to you. That's fine. But that in itself is not salvation. That in itself is not protecting you from taking the mark of the beast. You can be right on all the conspiracy theories. And while you've got one browser window open researching vaccines, you got another browser open watching porn. So tell me, which one's doing you the eternal good? Or you're chatting online with some guy or some gal? Or you're stealing from work or stealing from the government? Or you're a backbiter? Or you're a boaster? See, it's all sin. And just because I'm not controlled by Big Pharma, and I'm not controlled by the New World Order, but you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And as such, God said they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, God is not going to let you, if you are truly His, you're truly sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, God is not going to let you take it. He's not. Don't live by their fear mongering. Don't live your life that way. Proverbs 10:16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Fruit. You see, how did Jesus say we would know them? We would know them by their fruits. Isaiah 3:10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Do you really think that if you're not saved, that you're going to find a way to escape what's coming? Do you really think that? Really think your bunker and your what do they call it? Your bug out protection plan. When it hits the fan, you've got plans. You're going to head to the woods. You're going to go to the desert. You're going to get in your bunker. What do you think is going to protect you? If God doesn't protect you, if God turns you over, do you think you can stop it? You can't. Jeremiah 6:19, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their, the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Do you really think that sitting around thinking about being with somebody that's not your wife or your husband, you really think that's not going to lead to eventually going down that road? Do you really think that it doesn't matter what I think and what you feed your mind all day? Do you really think that that has no effect on your personality or your behavior? I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. What goes in comes out. What you sow is what you will reap. And if you sow sin in the field of your mind all day long, that is exactly. I mean, I've known people. I've known guys who were convinced that they could lust all they wanted to, just as long as they stayed, you know, with their wife, then it would be okay. I've actually known men like that, who Christian men who said they were Christian, who thought that way. I remember hearing a guy say, I believe I can window shop all I want as long as I buy at home. And he was lusting after a teenage girl walking down the street. And this was a guy, when I was in Bible college, I went to church with. We were going to get food for a youth function we were going to have at our church. And I'm listening to this guy going, listen, she was cute, but that ain't right. You really think that you can think stuff all day long and it has no effect on your personality and your behavior? Well, God says different. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So that's my point about the mark. It's not going to be delivered at gunpoint, coercion. We order you to receive this mark, or we'll kill you. You'll cut your head off. God's going to turn people over to it, and they're going to voluntarily choose it. Just like Eve did, just like Adam did. Jeremiah 21:14, but I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will kindle the fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it. The fruit. It's always about the fruit, people. Jeremiah 32:19, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Hosea 10:13, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. It's very plain and very simple, my friends. God has a mark reserved for everybody who deserves it. Everybody whom, and God is the judge. I'm not. Okay? Hang on here. Amen. Amen. I got a text from my daughter-in-law, my granddaughter, my youngest one, brand new one. She was on an IV, and they just took it out. Thank you, Father, for doing that for my granddaughter. You'll have to forgive me, my emotions when it comes to my grandchildren. I've lost one. She's in heaven. So I've had a grandson and two granddaughters born just recently, and always get a little nervous. So thank you for your prayers, everybody. I appreciate it. They are far better than what this old preacher deserves, I guarantee you. I mean, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to sin. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the things like I'm talking about today. We get what we sowed in life. Except by the grace of God. And it will be only by God's grace that you don't receive a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. Not because you read all the websites and you watched all the YouTube videos and you were on top of all the conspiracy theories out there. Not because of that. But it's by grace. You either stand and nothing else. This I know. Micah 7:13, notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. I mean, how many times has he said that? Fruit of their doings. Fruit of the lies. Fruit of his doings. Fruit of your doings. There he said it there. The fruit of his doings. The fruit of their thoughts, the fruit of their doings, the fruit of the wicked. What's the number for fruit bearing? If you look in Genesis 9, God said, be fruitful. That's the number for fruit bearing. So we go to Galatians, ninth book of the New Testament. And we see here, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I could stop right there and nail 99% of the people that I'm talking to right now with just those four sins. But it goes on. Idolatry. Witchcraft. The movie Frozen 2. Don't let your kids watch it. Oops, if you already did. You better watch it. Because I'm telling you, it's loaded with elemental witchcraft. Loaded with it. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies is coming up with any other gospel other than the grace of God. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's 18 things here. It's 9 times 2. The opposite of that, and he says, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That means when you don't agree with Pastor Mike, but you still listen every now and then. Thank you for long-suffering with me. Gentleness. Goodness. Hey, faith. Yeah, that's a fruit of the Spirit, and yet it's required in order to have the Spirit. So which comes first, the Spirit or faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the mere fact that you even believe one verse out of the Bible was by God's grace to begin with. It's still not of your own doing or not doing. Faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. 9 things here. Let me go to that verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not about eating or not eating or drinking or not drinking or getting a needle in this arm or not a needle in this arm. It's not about anything like that. It's not about that. It's about God's grace through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And see, that's at the core now. That's the core of the Health Rangers article. It's all about his boasting. Look at what I do. Look at what I abstain from. I don't get any pharmaceuticals. I don't receive any vaccinations. I do it like this. It's about his boasting. And the mere fact that he said, if you go get a needle in your arm, you've sold your soul to Satan. While I haven't, that's boasting. He's come up with a different gospel than the one Jesus died for. And I hate it. I hate every false gospel. I hate them. Hate them all. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So it's all about that fruit and your choice. You either choose life or you choose to have that awakening, but it's going to bring death, sure as the world. And I guarantee you, mark my words, you'll receive that mark all right. You'll be turned over to it. It will come to you in such a way as you will never. I didn't read any conspiracy websites on this. This must be okay. I guarantee you, God will turn you over to it. He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. You see, there's a strong delusion coming. Not a weak one. Strong one. Now, notice this. Deuteronomy 32. It's getting back to that fruit. Their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom. the fields of Gomorrah. They're grapes. That's fruit. Are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, the cruel venom of asps. What is the wine he's talking about? Their words. Their words. What they say. So, Proverbs 5, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So we have a Bible then that's sharper than her two-edged sword. Amen? I mean, that's the purpose of giving us his word, for us to sit and read and study and meditate and think on these things, so that when this kind of nonsense and others, countless others, thousands of others like it come to us, we're not in any fear. Again, I don't know what form the mark of the beast is going to take. But I know one thing. God won't let me receive it. He'll keep me from it. He promised he would. We walk by faith and not by sight. So just because I can't see right now, right this minute, what the mark of the beast, what form it's going to take, how it's going to be given, what, you know, it's going to be administered by a shot, are we going to eat it, we're going to breathe it in, or what are we, how, I'm not sure, but I know God will keep me from it. I know that. So Jeremiah 9. This is pertaining to fruit. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood. Now, notice the concentration in the scriptures upon Eve ate something. What did Moses do with that god they made in Horeb? That calf, that golden calf. Ground it to powder, cast it into their water, made them drink it. Now, you know, we eat and drink the Bible when we read it, right? So, again, is this mark, is this going to be something we physically ingest? Or is it going to come about as a product of something we believe? Or I don't know. What I know is, to every sinner out there, God's going to turn them over to it. And to every saint out there, God's going to protect them from it. That I know. And see, that does away then with all the worry and all the fear. Should I eat this? Should I abstain from this? Should I stay away from that? Should I not eat that? I don't know. What I know is, I'm not worried about taking the mark. Jeremiah 23:15. But notice wormwood. You know what that is? Absinthe. Now, I've never taken absinthe, but I've read about it. It's a very bitter, I think it's a root. It's real bitter. That make you high as a kite. And you'll have, like, hallucinations. Okay? You'll see things or perceive things that aren't really there. And people do this deliberately. They partake of this on purpose. They choose it. They choose to do this to themselves. Just like people choose to take LSD, or people choose to take methamphetamine, or they choose to drink alcohol. And God says, I'll give them the water of gall to drink. Jeremiah 23:15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. Look at, he's talking about religious people now. I will feed them with wormwood and make them to drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Lamentation 3:15, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. See, this is that ecstasy I was talking to you about. That rush, that feeling, that high you get. Whether you got it from a bottle, you got it from a pill, or you got it from weed. You got it from tobacco. Or you got it from, because I never smoked, I never dipped. But apparently, the first time you do, some people say it made them dizzy, I guess. But anyway, the idea here is God is making people drunk. The mark of the beast, I believe, is going to be the ultimate high. Higher than a Rocky Mountain high. Higher than marijuana. Higher than ecstasy. Higher than meth, cocaine, ayahuasca. It's basically going to lay people out. It is going to be a religious experience. Everything I read in the scripture tells me that. Bible's warning you. Bible's trying to convince you that this mark of the beast is a spiritual issue as much as it is physical. And I believe it's physical. It is spiritual. So look at what he said. Lamentations. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. Now, remember what I said about tares. When the devil sowed tares into the world, that's Genesis 3. That's when I think he did it. The enemy came, sowed tares in among the wheat. Here's the good seed. God looks at all the creation, says everything's good. And then the devil shows up. And what is tares? It's poison. Darnell. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, he brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So here's the Wikipedia article. Darnell can be infected with an endophytic fungus of the genus Neotiphodium, and the endophyte produced insecticidal loline alkaloids, the term alkaloids ring a bell with anybody, were first isolated from this plant. The French word for darnel is ivrei, the Latin ebriacus, or inebriated, intoxicated, which expresses the drunken nausea from eating the infected plant, which can be fatal. The French name echoes the scientific name Latin Timolentus, which means drunk. Because the tares, the reason why the enemy sowed them out there, they look like wheat. Whereas the wheat is full of carbohydrates, full of sugar, which is what our body needs. The tares carry a fungus that grows on them. And when you ingest that fungus, it's an intoxicant. It makes you drunk, delirious, inebriated, high. Then it kills you. So you see what I'm saying? You ever, those of you who have ever received a vaccination, did you ever get high from it? No, I didn't either. If that were the case, they would be lined up for miles getting vaccines, right? And my point is, everything God's telling us in His Word, He's telling us, and I've got more to show you, but He's telling us that this is a religious choice. Because of everybody's sins, because of their disobedience, because of their total ignorance of what the Word of God says, and their lust for the things of this world, God's going to turn them over to go get a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Not a good point. But He's going to mark them. One of the things that I agree with is the health preacher. Once you get that mark, there is no turning back. Yeah. You can believe me, or you don't have to believe the word I say. But you should believe what God said. Who do you trust? You trust the health ranger? You trust me? Trust this. That's all I'm asking you to do. That's my purpose in everything I do. To get you to look at this book. Find out what it says. Fair enough? Okay? Because then, I did my job, you did yours. And whether we understand it or not, God will bless us for just believing. That's what I believe.